Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is great to be back. Now, some of you may not have known I was gone. I have had episodes out every single day, but for the last few days, I was spending some time in Las Vegas. I would say recharging the batteries, but you do not go to Vegas to recharge the batteries. You go to have fun, had a lot of fun, spent some good time with friends and family. It was awesome. But yes, good to be back. Good to be back chatting Packers and excited to be here chatting with you guys today. Thank you so much for being here. Always appreciate it. Shout out, by the way, to Sean S. for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. We've got a lot to get into today, so let's get into it right away. Week 5 in the NFL is almost done. We've got one game left, KC and Jacksonville on Monday Night Football. Really looking forward to that game, actually. I think that should be a fun one. I want to see if Jacksonville can kind of compete here and, you know, kind of get to the top of that AFC South and maybe hold that spot. And want to see if KC can actually find some rhythm. I think KC will be okay. They usually are. They almost always are, especially with Mahomes and Reed, etc. Feels like there's just some flaws in that team right now. So interested in that game. But the reason I wanted to bring up week 5 in the NFL, and as we are kind of recapping what happened over the weekend, I just want to say the NFL is really freaking hard. Really, really freaking hard. Everyone has a loss. There is no longer an undefeated team in football. Eagles lose, Bills lose. And if you think that your concerns with your team are limited to just your team, you are out of your mind. The amount of concerns that all of these teams are having, there's probably a few happy fan bases right now. I think the Lions fan base has to be really excited the way that they've played over the last 4 weeks. Your team beat that team, by the way. Packers did beat them week one, but I don't care. It's a really good win. But the Lions fan base is probably feeling pretty good right now. I would assume the Buccaneers fan base is feeling pretty good. 4-1 on the season, but they've had to work at the last minute in every single one of their wins. 49ers fan base probably feeling pretty good at 4-1. But the injuries, no Nick Bosa, that could come back to haunt them throughout the course of the year for sure. They are consistently and constantly banged up, and it just doesn't seem like they can get healthy. The Bills just lost to New England in Buffalo. The Eagles just lost to the Broncos in Philly. Their fan bases aren't happy right now. Indianapolis, probably pretty happy, right? The Steelers, Jaguars fan bases, maybe happy. We'll see what happens on Monday Night Football if Jacksonville stays that way. It is extremely hard. A lot of disappointing teams, a lot of disappointing losses. Look at Arizona, what Arizona dealt with. I mean, you had a fumble where the guy fumbled it out of the end zone right before he crossed the end zone or the goal line. That should have been a game over moment right there. You had an interception that was fumbled and recovered in the end zone for the opposite team. Just completely handed the Titans that game. A brutal loss for Arizona. It reminded me a little bit of that Bears Hail Mary loss to Washington last year, where just not sure if you can recover from that one. We'll see. Green Bay faces Arizona in a couple weeks. Baltimore facing some injury issues for sure, but they go to 1-4 on the season. Your Green Bay Packers are at 2-1-1. The Jets are at 0-5, the lone defeated team. You have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more teams at 1-4. 7. Giants, Saints, Titans, Browns, Dolphins, Ravens, and Raiders, including a team in the Ravens that were supposed to be Super Bowl contenders. I picked Ravens over Packers in the preseason. Personally, Ravens one's not looking great at the moment, especially with all the injuries that they have. You have 4 teams at 2-3, the Panthers, Cardinals, Texans, and Bengals. 1 team at 2-2-1, the Cowboys. 3 teams at 2-2, the Bears, the Falcons, and the Chiefs. And then a handful of teams at 3-2, including the Rams, Commanders, Patriots, Vikings, Seahawks, Broncos, and Chargers. So while you are maybe not thrilled with the Packers being 2-1-1 on the season, only the Steelers and Jaguars, both at 3-1, and the Lions, Bucks, 49ers, Bills, Eagles, and Colts at 4-1 have better records than Green Bay at this moment. And if Jacksonville loses to KC on Monday Night Football, Green Bay will literally have the eighth best record. They're in the top quarter of teams, and they're 2-1-1. It's not to say that that excuses the loss and the tie for Green Bay so far. The goal for Green Bay is to be the best team in football. It's just a reminder that if you think any of these teams are completely happy and finished products through the first month of the season, the truth is none of them are. And all of them have flaws. And all of them are working to improve those and get better. And clearly the Packers are a piece of that as well, sitting at 2-1-1 through four games. But just like the loss to New England will not ultimately define Buffalo, the loss to the Broncos will not ultimately define Philadelphia, the loss to Cleveland, the tie to Dallas will not ultimately define Green Bay. These are things that will work themselves out later in the year, and we'll be able to judge Green Bay accordingly at that time. The point one more time is just that the NFL is really freaking hard. Everyone's been humbled at least once so far. There's not a single undefeated team, and every single team has things that they need to work on if they want to be in contention at the end of the season. And some of them feel like the season's already over. So I know it hasn't felt great these last couple weeks. Just know a lot of fan bases are worse. Many are in the same boat, and there are very, very precious few that feel better than even where Green Bay's at, sitting at 2-1-1 through this early start of the season. And while it is Green Bay's goal to be the best team in football, as I mentioned earlier, I don't necessarily need that to be right now. I don't need them to be the unquestioned champions of September and early October. I need them to be the undisputed champions come February. So long ways to go. Long ways to go for Buffalo and Philly and Indy and San Fran and the Rams and the Bucks and everyone else you want to throw in, et cetera, right? So this is a very small sample size still for everyone. We are still learning a lot about these teams. And again, every single one of them has work to do, including the Packers, if they want to be Super Bowl champions. Now, Green Bay this upcoming week has the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals looked pretty atrocious for the vast majority of that game against Detroit. Put a couple of Ja'Marr Chase touchdowns on the board in garbage time. Let's just say there's not a lot of faith in Cincinnati at the moment. The Packers open week six as 14.5-point favorites at home against the Bengals. Now, the big question is going to be, is Jake Browning the starting quarterback? Through the majority of that game against Detroit, he looked abysmal. Through the majority of what he's done through the course of this season, he has looked abysmal. Now, again, he got a couple touchdown drives at the end. Did that potentially save his spot? Zach Taylor was pretty non-committal. He was, you know, supportive, but not committed to Browning being the starting quarterback. I think if you're Green Bay, you probably just want Jake Browning to be the starting quarterback. I don't think you want anything changed up at this point. I'm not sure it's going to matter. Here are the options for Cincinnati heading in this week. Brett Rypien is the backup quarterback right now. Green Bay's faced Brett Rypien with the Rams before. That did not go so well for Brett Rypien and the Rams. Green Bay should win that easily if Brett Rypien's the starting quarterback. The other two practice squad quarterbacks that they have that know the playbook a little bit and could potentially come in and play are Mike White and former Packers quarterback Sean Clifford. Those are the other options. Now, some of you may say, well, Andy, there are other options as well. What about trading New York for Jameis Winston or Russell Wilson or something like that? Yeah, that's within the realm of possibility. If you're Cincinnati and you're trying to save your season, I think they absolutely need to be considering something like that. My question would be is, just how quickly can you get Russell Wilson and or Jameis Winston or any other quarterback that you would acquire up to speed to be ready to start this week against Green Bay? It's not impossible. We saw Josh Dobbs go from Arizona to Minnesota and win a game. And I would say Winston and or Wilson would be better options than Josh Dobbs was a year ago. But these are not easy things to get done in very short periods of time, especially again when you travel to Green Bay this week It's not an ideal situation for Cincy. Even if they would go out and trade for Wilson or Winston this week, it's possible that Browning would still be the starter as that new quarterback gets their feet under them and gets ready to go maybe for future games. We'll have to see what happens. We obviously, or at least I don't know right now as recording this very early on Monday morning, but it's going to be worth monitoring this week if Cincy does make a move. If so, is it to one of their quarterbacks already on the roster? And if it's not, which quarterback do they go with? Which quarterback do they trade for? And are they even remotely up to speed to go against Green Bay this week? We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. So don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Green Bay had a bye in week 5, but it's time to get back in the swing of things as Green Bay set to take on Cincinnati in week 6. Not only that, we have some marquee matchups with Tampa hosting San Fran and KC hosting Detroit. So it's a great time to get back on Prize Picks and get your winning started today. This week, I'm going with a big game from Josh Jacobs, a bounce back performance from Justin Herbert, and a Josh Allen beatdown in Atlanta. Here's the best part. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to 3 times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Josh Allen passing yards? More on Josh Allen rushing yards? More on Josh Allen touchdowns? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup only on Prize Picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. The real truth of the matter is that it shouldn't matter. I mean, I'm not sure that, you know, outside of Joe Burrow all of a sudden becoming miraculously recovered, that there's anybody that can take this Cincinnati team that would be even partially available and get them back into being a legitimate team right now. They looked really bad. Their defense is not great. And their offense just isn't the same without Joe Burrow. So that's a tough scene for Cincy. It was a pretty brutal couple weeks. And this is one that the expectations are going to be that Green Bay handles Cincinnati relatively easily in this game. I know we just talked about the NFL is hard and it humbles you quick. You are coming off a bye week. You should be extra motivated coming off a tie and a loss over the last 2 weeks. And you face what I think is one of the bottom two teams and bottom three teams in football right now, while missing Joe Burrow. This is a huge opportunity for Green Bay to come out of the bye and get on the right foot and immediately get a nice win against the Cincinnati Bengals. And yes, that should be the expectation going into this week. The other thing that we're going to be keeping a very close eye on this week are the injured Packers. Which of these injured Packers are ready to practice and maybe return and even play this week against Cincinnati? We'll start with Devontae Wyatt, who we know was week to week last we heard from Matt LaFleur. He has been such a key piece on the middle of that defensive line and just on that defense in general. Micah Parsons has had glowing things to say about him. Green Bay is going to want Devontae Wyatt in every game they can get him in. This may not be a game where your defense needs Devontae Wyatt to shut down Cincinnati's offense, but it would certainly be nice to have him if you could get him out there. Nate Hobbs, coming off a concussion, you would assume with the bye week in between that he should be good to go. We'll see if he practices in full this week or if he's still recovering, but assuming he can get cleared from that concussion, hopefully he's good to go for the Bengals game. Then you have 3 offensive linemen that missed that are not on injured reserve or not on any sort of list or anything like that. They just didn't play in the final regular season game that, you know, before the bye week in week 4. That is Zach Tom, Aaron Banks, and Anthony Belton. Are any of those players practicing and good to go? The hope is that, you know, Belton and or Banks are good sooner rather than later. I'm assuming Tom's going to take a little bit of time. If it is a high ankle sprain for Belton, that could take a little bit more time as well. But those are 3 big time offensive linemen to keep an eye on for Green Bay as they try to get some semblance of normalcy back on that offensive line and start getting a line that can go out there and play week in and week out. You then have 3 players on the physically unable to perform list that are all eligible to start practicing. Do any of them get their windows opened? Are any of them able to play against Cincinnati? Christian Watson, of course, is the big one. Colin Oliver, we know nothing about because he's done nothing outside of a brief cameo at rookie minicamp. And John Williams, the expectation is probably will not be ready, but that's another one we know pretty much nothing about at this standpoint. You have two players that are eligible to return off of injured reserve, Marshawn Lloyd and Jacob Monk. Are they activated or at least opened up the window to start practicing? Those are two more interesting players that Green Bay, I'm sure, would love to have back at this point. You have two players who are on IR that are not yet eligible to return, Brenton Cox Jr. and Jaden Reed. So if you're expecting either of those, don't. They're not eligible to return yet. We know Jaden Reed's going to be a while. And then, of course, Travis Glover is the other player on IR, and he is not eligible to return at any point this upcoming season. So Devontae Wyatt, Nate Hobbs, Zach Tom, Aaron Banks, Anthony Belton, Christian Watson, Colin Oliver, Marshawn Lloyd, Jacob Monk. We're all looking at you to see if you're going to be, you know, ready to go. And then, of course, are there any other injuries we don't know about? There are injuries coming off of last week that we just didn't even get updates on. And all of a sudden, there's a new injury that is out there that we're just not even aware of at this point. So the injury report will be very noteworthy and worth keeping an eye on as we get to practices this week and LaFleur talks and things like that. So we'll kind of keep an eye on, of course, all of those for you right here at the Pack-A-Day podcast. All right, let's get to our main topic, which it's a smaller topic for today, which is why it took a little bit longer to get into things. I wanted to kind of recap everything that's happened and kind of go over everything that I might have missed and just that we haven't talked about in a little bit. But key topic for today are the Packers' biggest surprises and disappointments through the first quarter of the season. I've got five surprises. I've got five disappointments. Let's get after it. Surprise number one. This might surprise you that this player is surprise number one on my list, but I think he's absolutely the most deserving of being the biggest surprise so far. And that's Colby Wooden. Colby Wooden went from a player that early on in this offseason, we all wondered if Wooden would even make this team. You looked at it on paper, you're like, well, they've got Kenny Clark, they've got Devontae Wyatt, they've got Carl Brooks. They drafted Warren Brinson. They brought in Nazir Stackhouse as an undrafted free agent. You know, you start looking at the depth of this team and you're like, hey, I don't know that they're going to actually need Colby Wooden unless he shows some form of improvement. And then he goes out and really changes his entire body type, puts on a bunch of mass, including some functional strength, and says, hey, I'm not going to just be this 270-pound penetrating three technique anymore. I'm going to be a 300-pounder who you can count on to stop the run and still has a little juice to get upfield and cause some chaos. And you're like, all right, well, that sounds good. I'd love to see it. But man, if he all of a sudden doesn't have the power that he needs and he lacks now the juice, like, is that going to be advantageous for him? The answer is a resounding yes. He has been really freaking good so far. Now, I'm not saying he's playing at a Pro Bowl level or an All-Pro level or anything like that. He's not. But he has been a real solid starter. And imagine I just told you that. Imagine I told you at that point in time where Colby Wooden was not even assured to make the team that actually he's been a plus starter for Green Bay. You'd be like, wow, that's a huge win. A huge win. There's a world in which, again, maybe he doesn't make that change to his body where he's not even on this team right now. That was within the realm of conversation and possibility. There were people that on final cutdown predictions did not have Colby Wooden on their 53. And he has been a real solid starter for Green Bay so far. And I said this the other day, I think it was on Bleacher Report that I said this, but he's taking over really for Kenny Clark. Now, this is going to sound derogatory or whatever towards Kenny Clark. It's not meant to be at all. Kenny had the injuries last year with the foot that made it that he wasn't as good, not quite himself. Colby Wooden, 2025, has thus far, in a smallish sample size through 4 weeks, played better than Kenny Clark did in 2024. I think Clark probably would have been better this year. I think he's been probably a little bit better than Wooden so far with what I've seen of him in Dallas. But it's a conversation. And like I said, Wooden in 25 is better than what Clark was in 24. So he really took that spot and said, I got this. I'll own it. I'm not saying Wooden is Clark or that Clark hasn't been the better player, or even that if I had a play right now and I could have Kenny Clark or Colby Wooden out there, who do I want? I want Kenny. I'm not saying that. But thus far, I think he's been outperforming the version of, you know, Kenny Clark that we saw from this past year. And that in and of itself is a real solid step in the right direction. So what he has brought to this team as a solid, steady starter, especially again, after trading Kenny Clark away to get Micah Parsons, imagine that that wasn't the case. You still have to do that deal if you're Green Bay, but imagine Wooden is just really struggling. Can't hold up at the point of attack, not being a good run defender, can't rush the passer. Man, your defensive tackle room really looks barren, really looks thin. So he has been awesome and a very, very pleasant surprise. Disappointment has to be Elgton Jenkins. I'm going to start with the good news here first. I thought Elgton played really well in week four. He called himself out for playing really crappy through the first 3 weeks of the season. The fact he owned the first 3 weeks, called it out himself, and then played much better in week four, that to me is very encouraging. That tells me he was aware of it, he's working on the problem, and it's already started to improve. But make no mistake, Elgton was supposed to be a massive upgrade to Josh Myers at center. A massive upgrade. You're taking one of your best offensive linemen and putting him in a spot where, to me, the lowest graded player on Green Bay on offense last year was Josh Myers. He was the weak link on the offensive line. And now you're getting Elgton Jenkins in that spot. This is a no-brainer. This is so easy. It's an awesome upgrade. And so far, through 4 weeks, it has not been. Myers, through 4 weeks last year, was better than Jenkins through 4 weeks this year. In fact, if you want to trust PFF, Josh Myers in New York so far has been better than Elgton in Green Bay so far at center this year. That was not on my bingo card. I was not expecting Elgton to play that poorly through four games. Now, the hope is that he got it out of his system. There was a little bit of rust moving back to center. I thought it was an energy and effort thing over the first few weeks. I thought it was much better in week four. And surprise, surprise, he played much better. And I think if that's the Jenkins you get moving forward, you're going to be totally fine. But through the first month of the season, he was nothing as expected and way worse and just not even capable of holding up at the point of attack when you needed him the most. So a massive disappointment so far for Elgton after an offseason where he was looking for more money, it felt like, and was maybe not always the most satisfied. He goes out there and through the first three games, laid an egg. Thankfully, in week four, we saw much more promise from Jenkins at center. Next up, surprise, Evan Williams. It's not a huge surprise that he's playing as well as he is. He was really good last year, too. I do think it's a surprise that, in my opinion, he's been Green Bay's best safety so far. It's not really a knock on Xavier McKinney, although I don't think Xavier McKinney's played his best brand of football so far. I think McKinney's pressing a little bit because teams are specifically staying away from him, and he wants to go make plays. So I think sometimes he's doing a little bit too much. And if he just does his 1/11th, everything's going to kind of come naturally. But it's not about McKinney. It's about Evan. I think Evan has done a really great job coming up and playing run defense. He has been very communicative on the back end. He is taking great angles to the football. He is covering well. He just looks like a incredibly well-rounded overall safety at the moment. Like I said, through the first four games, in my opinion, he's graded as the best safety so far. So a bit of a surprise there, but a very pleasant one when it comes to Evan Williams. We'll be right back. What's going on, everyone? I am so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Prealcohol. ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Now, pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Listen, I get it. I was on the fence about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for bachelor parties, fall cookouts, and at a huge tailgating event, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Football is here, which means more opportunities to get out there with your friends and celebrate the season. So before that backyard barbecue brew, post-touchdown mixer, or cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that football season has to offer. So go to ZBiotics.com/Packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/Packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our partners and use that code Packaday. Next up, disappointment. Rashid Walker. The big question, Rashid Walker, Jordan Morgan at left tackle. Who's going to start? Who's going to be the guy? Who's going to take that spot? And Rashid had everything to gain. He had everything to play for because we've talked about the Dan Moore contract a million times over. You're getting over 20 mil per year if you just show that you're an average starting left tackle. He had everything there. And through 4 weeks so far, it has been sort of the same Jekyll and Hyde, Rashid Walker, where you don't know what you're going to get week in and week out and play in and play out. Green Bay needs a really sound left tackle there. Rashid Walker has played so much better football over the last couple of years than what we've seen so far. And in a contract year, it would have been a no-brainer that now that he's getting this time and Jordan Morgan isn't even in the conversation at left tackle because he had to, you know, play different spots because of injuries, it's Rashid Walker's time to go out and shine and earn that big $20-plus million contract. And instead, it's been, I think, one of the worst seasons he's had so far over the first 3 years. Now, this is not uncommon for Walker the last couple of years. I thought he started slow and got much better as the season went along. And so hopefully that's the case here as well. He started a little bit slow and he's going to be much better moving on, but they need a much better version of Rashid Walker to start solidifying that offensive line. Next up on my surprise list is Devontae Wyatt. I love the way that Devontae Wyatt is playing. He has stepped into that number one defensive tackle role and played like an absolute stud. He is penetrating. He is getting into the backfield, but that's not unexpected. The unexpected part is just how good he's been as a run defender. As a run defender, he has been really good. And this is a player that has not shown that earlier in his career. He has not been able to hold up against double teams. He's holding up against double teams. He has not been able to stack and shed quite as he has been stacking and shedding very easily. He just is a menace up front, and offensive linemen have not had a great response for him. He consistently wins, but it's his work as a run defender that has really won me over and showed that he can really be the guy as a number one defensive tackle. Hopefully the injury is nothing major. He can play this weekend moving forward, but what I've seen on tape from him so far looks like a number one defensive tackle, and I'm thrilled by the way Devontae Wyatt is playing through the first quarter of this season. Disappointment has to be Aaron Banks. This is our third offensive lineman in three disappointments. Now, I didn't think his one game was as bad as people thought. It wasn't good, though, and he's had injuries. I'm willing to give Aaron Banks a little bit of forgiveness here because he's to a new team and he's dealt with a ton of injuries. I don't think this is completely indicative of who Banks is going to be, but thus far, it has been a struggle for Banks just to get on the field. And that's the big thing. He's got to get out there. He's got to play consistently, and he needs to play better than what we've seen in that one game so far. And I do think that one game was marred a little bit by the fact that he was injured and not practicing quite as much, things like that. But we need a much better version of Aaron Banks if we want to see a team, you know, that is much better on the offensive line, be able to run the ball, pass the ball with the efficiency that they want to. They need these offensive linemen to play better. I could have just easily wrapped this up and said the offensive line has been the biggest disappointment. It has been, but specifically Jenkins, Walker, Banks, all in that conversation. Next up on the surprise list is Romeo Doubs. I still think that this is within the realm of like kind of expectations for Romeo, but I just really love the joy, the confidence that he is playing with. He looks like he expects to be the number one wide receiver. He's playing with that intensity, and Jordan Love is paying it off as well. I think that this is still going to be something that's complicated as Watson comes back and Reed comes back at some point. There's still a lot of mouths to feed, but it feels like Romeo Doubs has been by far and away the most consistent of those weapons so far. And if he continues that, Green Bay is going to have to really consider giving him a contract extension. Next up as a disappointment has been Nate Hobbs. I really liked what I saw to Nate Hobbs in training camp. We've had then the injuries, and then from the injuries, we've had him maybe not play his best, you know, brand of football these past couple weeks. I thought the Dallas game was really rough for Hobbs. I think that's kind of been the one thing so far, but he's got to bounce back from it. He's got to be better. This is a free agent class in Banks and Hobbs that Green Bay really needs to hit. They can't have misses here. Like, this is a team that's ready to compete for a Super Bowl. They spent a crap ton of money on Banks and Hobbs, and they need those two to be much better than they've been so far. And that starts with being on the field, being healthy, hopefully, and then playing their best brand of football going into the remainder of this season. Next up on my surprise list, drops. It has not been an issue of all the self-inflicted wounds and all of those sort of things, the penalties, all of it. Drops have not been an issue. They've cleaned it up for the most part. They have 5 drops through 4 games. That is just a little bit more than 1 per game. The players that have had drops so far, Jaden Reed, Chris Brooks, Dontavian Wicks, Tucker Kraft, and Romeo Doubs, each with 1 drop on the season. That is per PFF. Nobody has 2 or more drops, and I'm just going to leave it at that and knock on wood and hope that this doesn't come back to haunt me. Thankfully, I don't believe in jinxes or curses, but I am impressed by Green Bay doing a much, much better job of holding on to the football so far this year. And then last but not least, we don't need to go into it in too much detail. You know it. I know it. We all know it needs to be better. It's special teams. I'm not surprised at this at all. I'll just put it that way. This is something that I've just not trusted the special teams unit at all. And we know they have to play better. You've got block kicks. You've got kick returns, punt return. Like, just all of it's been not what you want it to be. And they've got to figure out whether it's putting better players out there, getting Keyshawn Nixon more involved in kick returns. I don't care at this point. You've got to figure out a way to make the special teams work. And the fact that it looks once again like the 32nd ranked teams at any moment is a massive, massive disappointment. All right, to recap it, surprises and disappointments. My surprises, Colby Wooden, Evan Williams, Devontae Wyatt, Romeo Doubs, and the lack of drops. The disappointments, Elgton Jenkins, Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, Nate Hobbs, and of course, special teams. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me as always. Appreciate you guys a ton. I'll be right back here tomorrow. And we got Pack-A-Day Live with Mike Wall at noon on Monday Central Time. I'll see you guys there. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelsinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Titletown T, and Bill Reinhardt. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.